Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
You met in the studio, and special guest for the first part of our show today is Dr. Ruben Maiden, cardiologist. And you know what? I'm going to open the phone lines right now for you. If you have a heart question or cardiology question, we'd like to dive right in with that first, and we'll kind of mix it up a little bit today.
Let's do that today. Yeah. Jerry Mixon is traveling, and Dr. Yes. Maiden is here for another half hour maybe. So if you have some calcium score questions,
or those cholesterol
or atrial fibrillation.
Yeah. Anything having to do with the heart, we would love to talk with you, waiting for that first call, phone call.
And
the
number for those listeners, you know, Dr. Maiden is our favorite cardiologist.
Oh, he is our favorite cardiologist.
You're so kind.
Here's that phone number to get through today. It's 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And let's see, while we're waiting for that first call, you were mentioning to us off air, Dr. Maiden, about the heart. And, you know, we talk about all the numbers and all the things and all the all of that, but there's something that you were talking about that's very powerful that can help our hearts, and it's something that we can actually do every day. And you were talking about, well, you shared a very sweet story
about forgiveness,
yes,
empathy,
yes,
caring. So while we're waiting for the first caller, tell us a little bit more about this experience, Dr. Maiden.
All right. Would you like me to
go
through the
go
experience
ahead. Yeah.
for the new listeners?
Yes.
All right. So when I was a child growing up in Waterloo, Iowa, I lived across the street from a bully. Mm. And without saying his full name, I'll just call him Dougie. Dougie terrorized me. For the years we lived there, he would throw rocks at me from around trees. If I was riding my bike, he would push me off my bike. Mm. And he had a bulldog that he would sick on me, you know. And I really lived in a state of extreme fear for a few years living in this neighborhood. When we finally moved away, I was overjoyed. And,
yeah.
But what I hadn't realized is I just buried Dougie. And I carried Dougie in my heart. And we have been talking about what we carry in our hearts and how it affects our health. And I had carried him in my life. And then years later, when I was working at Evergreen here in Kirkland, and by the way, all my opinions today are mine and not those of Evergreen
That's
Health.
That's your disclaimer.
Yes, there you disclaimer. Go. That's our official disclaimer.
Yes. So I go in to see a heart attack patient. I pick up the chart and I look at the name, and it's his name, right? It's Dougie with the same it's Doug with the same last name. I think, oh my God, this is him, you know? And I go in and see him, and I'm kind of looking at him. I'm a little bit trembly. I'm a little bit sweaty. I really am like a kid coming face to face with my bully, and I think that this is really him.
Wow.
And I'm talking to him. I get his history, and I go, hey, by the way, you know, I knew someone with this name. You know, I grew up Waterloo, Iowa. He goes, oh, I grew up in Waterloo, Iowa.
Oh.
I thought, oh, my God, this is him. This is really him.
Uh-huh.
And then I started getting a little more anxious because I started thinking, how do I get even? You know, like, here he is having a heart attack.
His life is in my hands.
Right, what am I going to do? And I have to be honest, like, there's a feeling of vengeance and fear and, you know, and I said, well, you know, I grew up on a street named Glennie, and did you grow up on Glennie? And I can see the wheels turning in his head. Mm. And then he goes, oh, no, no, that was my cousin. We had the same last name.
Okay.
And I didn't realize at that time that he probably wasn't telling the truth. He probably remembered it all,
yeah,
right?
And was ashamed.
Yeah, probably, or
that's
whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
at least wanted me to save his life, right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I did. I saved his life, and he did great. And yet I still had that. I still had this thing.
Kind of wondering.
Carried him in my heart, carried him in my being. And then it was about last year sometime, I was at dinner with friends at my house, and I told this story, and we thought, we'd just look him up and see what happened, right? And we're searching the internet, and we find him, right? And he had moved to Vinton, Iowa, and we searched, about him, and he had died. And what I was reading was his obituary. Aww. And in the obituary, it was describing his life and his brother and his sister, and that he was his father, but that when he was 4 years old, his mother had died.
Oh. Right?
And then I realized that all of that bullying was just a boy in pain.
Right. Right? His expression of his own.
Hurt people.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the way that I related to him, the choice I made as a child of how to relate to him, and the choice I made of how to carry that in my life, was so different when I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow. And it made me wonder, why do I need a reason to forgive?
Yeah.
Why do I need a reason to have compassion? Mm-hmm. Simply living from compassion and forgiveness, I think, is one of the healthiest things that
we can all do
for our hearts. So here is a cardiologist.
Yeah.
I'm advocating
compassion
and forgiveness.
You're so right. We hear it all day long. People tell us, be compassionate, be caring. How do you actually do that, especially in your case where somebody actually hurt you? What do you do about it?
Yeah.
But it is so true. I see it all day long that when you are able to let go, you're not doing it for the other person. You're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your own being is a better person after you let go all the things. I mean, we all go through hardship. Mm-hmm. And once you learn how to forgive and move on, you're a healthier and a better person for it.
Right. I think for me, the first step that I learned, and this works for me and not every situation, is that I make the assumption that people are imperfect, not bad.
Mm.
I make the assumption this person did the best they could at that time in their lives with what they had,
right,
that they were not perfect.
Right.
And it's starting from that point of this is an imperfect person, and then recognizing the imperfection in myself,
right,
and resonating from there, it becomes not about anything except that I'm going to have compassion for another person learning about life.
Right. And for me, what has helped me is that I don't know what their life is all about. So I always tell myself I'm not walking in their shoes. And so, I do what I have to do, not judging.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just take care of the situation.
Yeah. And sometimes the people that hurt us aren't even aware of that, how we took it. They may not know.
Sure.
Yeah. So if you're forgiving, that lets your... it lifts that load off of you.
All right. Simple, but not easy.
Yes. Yes. But so important. So important. We're talking hearts today on the first half of our show on Leading Edge Medicine. Let's go to the phone. Jerry from Woodinville on the line. Hi there, Jerry.
Jerry, good morning.
Hi there. Good morning.
How can we help you? Yeah, we hear you, sir.
Okay. first off, I am a patient of longevity. And I'm on my seventh dose right now of injection of Repatha. And my score at about after my fourth dose took me from 142 total cholesterol down to 101. LDL from 70 down to 29. And HDL, I think, from about 56 to 60. Is there a too low?
It's a great question.
My question is.
Yeah.
Great question. So no, there is not with Repatha. Repatha works differently.
I know. I heard you earlier.
Yes. Yeah. So just for the listeners who are new to this program this hour, Repatha lowers cholesterol by driving our own cholesterol into our blood, into our cells of our body. It doesn't lower cholesterol by depleting our body of cholesterol. So when your LDL is 20, it just means all that circulating cholesterol is no longer in your bloodstream. It's in your cells. It's in your muscle cells. It's in your brain cells. It's in your bone marrow cells. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And so that's very, very healthy.
Saying is that cellular cholesterol performs function. It's serum or vascular or blood vessel cholesterol that's the plaque building that's dangerous.
Excellent. What a great summary.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not too low. And even in a lot of people get concerned about low cholesterols, and even when they're being treated with statins or other pharmacologies.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't a lot of data that there is a too low of a cholesterol. We all, of course, see some people, when their cholesterol gets too low, they don't feel good. But it really is more of an exception or sometimes a belief. I mean, if we look at young, healthy teenagers, young, healthy teenagers often have LDLs of 30.
Mm.
Right. They're growing. Their muscles are strong. They're making all their hormones, you know, sex hormones, non-sex hormones. An LDL of 30 is enough to do all of that.
Mm.
Right. And so you really got to be thinking that the thoughts about what is too low of a cholesterol really is more theoretical than probably a practical concern.
Mm.
OK, that's kind of what I wanted to hear. That makes good sense for me. I did go into it because I had a sister who had four bypass surgeries last summer.
Mm.
And she said, you should get a calcium cardiac score, which I did. And I came up with 1,200 and like 40.
Wow.
It showed two spots. Now, I'd had a heart attack 7 years ago. I had one stent put in my obtuse, the obtuse artery in the left ventricle, and had a little complication after that where I had to go back in and have an ablation done. And that's all worked out perfectly, which I'm really glad about. But it did show up these two spots in my on the arteries, and those pretty much the normal spots where you'd see those. And they weren't there 7 years ago, because I was able to compare, look at some scans from then. Will the Repatha be able to take, dissolve some of those areas?
Yes, I can't give you 100% certainty, but I have a really high level of certainty from the data right now. The Repatha will be reversing your heart disease. The best data I have is
what I was wanting to see.
The best data I have. Yeah, so it sounds like you're on the right track.
Good.
And we're glad we could be of help today.
Yeah.
Yes. Jerry, yeah, thank you for your call.
That. Okay, thank you very much.
Very good. We're going to break right here, and we'll be back with more of your heart questions at the beginning of the show today. We're here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Reuben Maiden, and we would love to talk with you as well at 888-312-5757. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Hey, what's the name of...
After I started on Dr. Mixon's program, your energy level just booms, and the mood leveling out was so important. Your quality of life just is transformed. I am so grateful to Longevity and Dr. Mixon's program.
Yeah, Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Reuben Maiden in the house for the first part of our show today, and Dr. Samira Umat answering your questions at 888-312-5757. We're trying to get to all the heart questions first, since we only have Dr. Maiden here for a short amount of time. Let's stay right here in Seattle and head over. Let's see, we've got Ray on the line. Hi there, Ray. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, this call screener said he was having a hard time. Hey, I get PVCs. So I had a pacemaker put in almost a year ago. And well, you know, they come and they go. You know, I went like 3 months without them, and then they started up like last week. And I'm just kind of wondering What causes PVCs? Are there supplements that I can take that will help reduce them? My cardiologist has me on diltiazem because I've had a couple incidents of AFib, but I haven't had AFib for probably 6 or 8 months.
And what is PVC for some of our listeners that may not be familiar?
Right. It's the acronym for premature ventricular contractions.
Okay.
Premature meaning early, ventricular meaning coming from the bottom chamber of the heart. And so they're early heartbeats.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
And so the importance of PVCs really relates directly to the underlying degree of the heart disease. So if someone has no heart disease and has PVCs, they're completely benign. They don't mean anything. Why they have this little electrical aberration is hard to say. And in other people, they can have exactly the same amount of PVCs, but be 70 years old and have bypass or have heart disease, and then those PVCs might be important. So simply saying you have them doesn't tell me a lot about their significance or what they might mean for you and your heart.
Well, if I can interrupt here.
Sure.
I can. They did an angiogram on me, and I don't know the name of it, but it's a peripheral, almost horizontal vein that goes across the heart that they said had some blockage in it, but they didn't want to put a stent in at the time. They said it was nothing to be concerned about at that point. But other than that, all the main veins and everything are, you know, arteries are all not blocked or anything.
Right, but you had a pacemaker for some reason. That wasn't for PVCs.
No, that's because blockage of that nerve down there.
You had heart block?
Yeah, I was almost passing out because
possibly
my heart slowed
block.
Down.
Right.
Yeah, bradycardia.
Bradycardia. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have atrial fibrillation or not?
No. I've had episodes of it, but I've learned how to avoid them.
Right.
Mostly I'd get them when I get too tired, and it was really weird. I'd drink something really cold, and I guess that triggered the vagus nerve to do something.
Yes.
But I usually go to sleep and then reset, or whatever you guys call it.
Yes. Right. Convert. Yes. A lot of people have GI triggers to atrial fibrillation, such as swallowing or cold, etc. You know, so things are a little too complicated here for me to give you a definitive answer. But I would say in general, if you've had PVCs for years and they've never bothered you and your underlying current heart condition is controlled, then the majority of the time they're not serious. They're just bothersome and you don't like them. Right. And your doctor probably told you that. Doctor probably told you that these aren't serious. You can ignore them. They won't harm you. And if they told you that, it makes me feel more comfortable, you know, reinforcing that. So what can you do about them? So the first thing you can do, and you're not going to like it, is give up caffeine 100%. You're going to say, I don't drink caffeine, right? Okay, but here's my question to you. Do you drink decaf coffee?
Yes.
Right, that's caffeine. Do you drink tea? Do you drink tea?
No. If I do drink tea, I drink the decaf green tea or just herbal tea.
Yeah, decaf tea is usually caffeinated.
Oh, okay.
Right.
You know what? I've been drinking more of.
More of lately. Do you eat chocolate?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Right.
A whole lot.
Okay, right. So you're like all my patients. Do you use caffeine? No. And then I find three sources of caffeine, right? So what I'm going to say is.
Chocolate, decaf coffee, and decaf tea.
Yeah, almost every tea has caffeine.
I thought decaf meant decaf.
Well, so decaf doesn't mean decaf. So decaf means less than 3%.
Okay.
97% has been extracted.
Okay.
So, for example, one company I won't mention makes a caffeinated bean with 600 times the level of caffeine in an average coffee bean.
Wow.
And then they remove 97% of it, and then you drink a cup of decaf coffee with 15 milligrams of caffeine.
Wow.
Right.
Mm.
So in teas have a special circumstance in that tea has chemicals like theobromine and other things that stimulate caffeine in the body. They can say no caffeine on the box because there's no caffeine in the tea, but it acts just like caffeine in your body. And that's most teas. Some pure herbs like chamomile won't, but most will. So the first thing is, if you don't like your PVCs, if you dislike them more, then you like your caffeine, then stop the caffeine.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You don't have to do it for health, but it will often get rid of them. And secondly, you can be switched from diltiazem to a beta blocker. And the diltiazem, you know, will suppress the atrial fibrillation like a beta blocker will. But a beta blocker will also suppress PVCs and diltiazem will not.
Hmm.
So often we switch people from diltiazem to like metoprolol or carvedilol, and then they'll suppress their AFib and their PVCs as opposed to just diltiazem alone. So those are some options for you.
Okay.
Great
Thank
options.
You know, I was wondering, I've never had a cardiac arrest or anything like that, but I was wondering, since I have a pacemaker and say something happened, you know, I was thinking, would it be wise to have a tattoo put up by on my chest where it says pacemaker? Because I can't wear bracelets and stuff. They just drive me nuts. I don't even wear my wedding ring.
I don't think that's a different story. I'll leave that one between you and your wife. I think that the pacemaker is obvious. Someone will see it, right? Especially if they're doing CPR, if you're arresting, it's right there. It's hard to miss.
Yeah.
As soon as they do an EKG, they'll see it. So I don't think wearing a bracelet is imperative.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Oh, thank you, Ray.
All right. Great questions, Ray. Thank you for the call.
Yes.
And you can also put a card in your billfold, because if you rest somewhere, they will go through your billfold and look for important medical information.
That's good to know.
That's a good idea, too, actually.
Thank you so much, Ray. We're going to sneak in one last question, if we can, about the heart. We have Jeff from Olala here. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, I've been a runner for the last 44 years. Run 100,000 plus miles, 100 marathons and ultras combined. What is your opinion on the just the excessive exercise in the heart? I mean, I have to claim that, you know, being an excessive mileage guy. So for all these years, what's your opinion on when I finally do slow down? I mean, what's going to happen to me?
Right. That's a good question.
Could he save his life?
That was a great question.
Yes, it is a very good question.
Well, at least he's not asking if there's too much damage that he's doing by his current level of exercise.
Right. That he's not asking
that. He's not asking that.
But I'm answering that.
Okay, go ahead then.
So exercise is, of course, great. I encourage people to exercise. Can you exercise too hard and hurt your heart? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And we've seen that. We see that, you know, very extreme high-level athletes at times develop heart damage. The heart muscle naturally enlarges and thickens during exercise, and that enlargement and thickening sometimes outstrips the blood supply, which is just fixed. It's just what you're born with. And so if your muscle gets thicker and thicker and larger, sometimes there's not quite enough blood for the thicker, larger mass of muscle, and scarring can form. And so it's important in, you know, ultra athletes to do periodic evaluations of the heart. A really simple thing to do is just an ultrasound of the heart and see, how does it look? How does it function? Does it appear that there appears to be any evidence of damage?
So cardiomyopathy?
A cardiomyopathy. And if there's not, an echo usually suffices. If there's concerns, we can then do something called an MRI of the heart, like a magnetic resonance image.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll show the amount of scarring in the heart. And it can tell us whether or not you're putting yourself at higher risk by continuing that activity. And so I think that in ultra athletes, probably see a doctor, get an echo. If it looks fine, great, keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, consider going on to another test. And then there, I can't really give specific guidelines for you, because I don't know where your baseline heart is after all these years of, you know, intense
running.
Yeah, intense stress on your heart, you know. But the other thing
if he were to slow down, then what?
Well, so, I mean, you slow down when you need to slow down. I mean, based on your general function. Now, if there's a problem with the heart, you may be more obligated to slow down, right? Because there is a point at which you can do so much of a good thing that can harm you, right? I mean, taking one aspirin a day can be helpful if you have heart disease. Taking 100 can kill you, right? I mean, everything. You know, eating olive oil is great. Drinking a gallon a day probably is not so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you can overdo exercise. But I think that ultimately, I never see people like you because you don't care. You know, you're just going to do your exercise. This is who you are.
But no, the other thing, too, is you don't see him because he doesn't have cardiac disease.
Yeah. Or he's assuming he's fine because he's exercising.
Yeah, maybe.
And not overweight. Yeah.
Maybe. But, you know, you do see your primary doctor.
Right.
And your primary doctor says, hey, you might be over exercising. You know, 100-mile runs at the age of 70 might not be so good for you, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't see people because all of you are unwilling to give up what you're doing. And so you... It's just interesting. So I'm so honored that you're calling for an opinion.
What can be good for you can also be bad for you.
Yeah. I'm honored you're calling with an opinion because usually people who have that kind of drive that you do don't want the opinions.
Well, I respect the opinion because, but basically, like I said, age is creeping up on me. So I still have that, you know, you talked about a 7-year-old. That's the one thing I still have on my bucket list to finish is 100 mile or so. I'm trying to hang on to get to that before I realize that, okay, you've done enough running, but I don't want to kill myself doing it.
Right.
Yeah, we do not
want
that.
I would also say I'm getting a sense that your intuition is telling you something right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting this sense just talking to you. Your intuition is saying there's something about here. I need to maybe be taking a fresh look or getting other opinions. And so I encourage you to pursue that. Mm-hmm. With all that ultra running, go see a cardiologist and
make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, have them make sure you're okay.
Or slow down if they want you to. Yeah. So, thank you so much, Jeff.
Wow, great question. I did not expect that today.
Yeah. Yes, great question.
Very, very different question.
We need to run and take a quick break. Goodbye to you, Dr. Reuben Maiden. Thank you for joining us on the first part of our show today.
Yes.
So appreciate that.
Great
and we'll
to
have you
here.
Back.
Yeah.
Always fun. I'll be back soon.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Great to have you.
Great
Thank
rest
you for
of
coming.
Your day.
Yeah.
But we'll be back. We still have another hour and a half. This is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Samira Umat. Those phone lines are blinking. And we're going to get to you, Ray. Let's see. We have Bill. Bill in line first. You're next right after the break.
Thank you.
I fly for a living, and I change in time zones and all this other stuff. And I'm getting colds, and when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds. So I'm just working, you know. So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and we are glad that you're here. Thank you so much for joining us. Your questions, we would love to talk with you at 888-312-5757. Of course, our program is brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. This is where if you need to get checked out or you're not feeling your best, you're feeling weaker, you're feeling like you can't remember things, you're slower, you're gaining weight, and your regular doctor says, well, you're fine. You're just normal. Well, you need to come in and get your get checked. We offer a free health analysis appointment, which will do two tests for you, the blood test and the in-body test, which gives you a start, gives our health advocate some information about you and your body and what's going on inside your body. This is what you need to do. Go to lmclinic.com to schedule your free health analysis appointment. That's lmclinic.com. You can pick the clinic that's closest to you, whether that's in Tacoma. A lot of listeners to the show going to our Tacoma clinic. We also have one in Linwood and in Kirkland. Now, you can also give us a call at 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, and that can help schedule an appointment for you. Pick the day, the time, and the clinic that works best for you. Let's get you in, get some numbers, and find out what's happening with your body and see if you are at risk for things like heart problems like we've been talking about today. cancers, diabetes, dementia, sexual dysfunction, and so much more. It just takes that first call. And if you're like our last caller who's feeling great, he's an ultra athlete, you know, wondering, can I keep doing what I'm doing? You know what? Get checked out. Let's see how well you are doing. Maybe you are doing great. Or maybe your body's pushing a little too hard. You just need to get some answers and you need to come in to Longevity Medical Clinic. We would love to help you with that. Okay. Again, that's lmclinic.com or 1-866-86-YOUNG.
Yeah, because as you rightly said, Lynette, it's all about quality, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about being able to do what gives you joy. As Dr. Maiden was saying, you know, it was nice to kind of chat as a colleague, but also to point out to people that what you might have been doing forever and might have worked for you at a certain point in time may not be the best thing for you right now, as yes. with this last caller. It seemed like Dr. Maiden kind of felt that his body was trying to tell him something, yeah. and his intuition yes. was
Get
telling
in and
him.
Check it out.
And it might just be that everything is fine, and I hope for his sake it is. But when you kind of get that feeling, okay, I really do need to go ahead and get it checked out.
See if this is okay.
My message to everybody is be your own advocate, because there's nobody else advocating for you.
That's true.
And the purpose is to stay healthy. Our system is, the way it is set up right now is broken because it'll fix you when you're broken. But to stay healthy is your own responsibility. And so if you are a little proactive in that, then you get to be a better version of yourself and enjoy the things that are important to you as you're getting older. Because, you know, there is 65 and then there's 65. There's 75 and then there's 75.
That's right.
And the question is, which do you want to be?
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's take a call. We have Bill from Redmond on the line. Oh, Bill, thank you so much for your patience. Hi there. Good
All
morning.
Right, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
I just wanted to revisit something. I called in several weeks ago about the senescent cell therapy. I'm a patient there.
Okay.
And we couldn't do it because I was on warfarin.
Okay.
And it dawned on me. I didn't go over that with my doctor when we did our lab review, but I thought about it. I had stem cell surgery with Dr. Nelson on my shoulder, and they took me off of the warfarin and had me on enoxaparin.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, why wouldn't that work for the senescent cell therapy?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And the thing is that with the senescence, with the stem cell and the PRP that Dr. Nelson did, it was a one-day procedure, and then you do a PRP, and you come back, and you do it another time. And I don't know if he kept you on your warfarin for that second episode or not, but it's a one-day thing. Whereas with our senescent cell program, the first treatment is actually 9 days long, and it's 3 days in 1 week, followed by 3 days in week two and 3 days in week three. And so then the question is, do you go off of 3 days in a week? Three continuous days it has to be in a week. And then what was the underlying reason you were put on warfarin, and how much of a risk factor is it that going off on 3 days, for 3 days, will cause a major event for you, a clot? Okay.
When I had that surgery, I was off of that warfarin for a whole week before and almost a whole week after the surgery, and then a time I thought I was through with it, and then they had me on it again when they did the PRP. So I was on, I got on the enoxaparin again.
And how long ago was this, Bill?
That was last year, year before, 2020, I believe it was, in September.
2020. Okay.
2021. I could check my records and see, but it was,
Okay.
In the fall of 2021, I believe it was. Or 2020.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, 20.
Okay. And so, you know, with this, you do the 9-day treatment first, and then you come back and you do some more treatments. And the frequency, unfortunately, we don't have a clear answer on that. Some people will do it 3 times a year. Some people will do it 4 times a year. And every time you do it again, it's a 3-day-long process. And so the question is, how safe is it for us to keep doing that and not give you a cardiac or blood clotting event? So the worry always is that we cause a problem while we're trying to prevent another one. And that's the big issue. Your blood, your warfarin is preventing a blood clot, and we don't want you to have a problem while we're trying to give you another treatment. Remember, you know, there's no peer-reviewed literature, and so medical-legally, that's our big issue right now. That's why we can't do it.
Okay. So the enoxaparin doesn't really have anything to do with it, basically.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you leave your name with the caller and let me kind of review your chart and send us the previous stem cell issues and then what they did to get you the stem cell therapy. And then let me take a look at it and talk to your doctor. Is it in Tacoma that you said you were a patient?
Edmund, the one needed is my clinic.
Oh, you're in Juanita Clinic. Oh, yeah, I know. What's that?
I met with you on that hair replacement deal at one point in time.
That's right. Yeah. So, can you leave me some more information about you with the with our engineer, and then let me do a chart review, and then I'll get back to you and see what we can do. Okay.
Sure.
But basically, you know, we're trying to be more cautious and careful. I know you've asked this warfarin. I've looked at the warfarin, and I felt at that time it was not, it was reasonable to not give you this treatment. But let me revisit it, and I'm happy to kind of chat with you. I might give you a call, and we'll take it from there. Okay.
And just so you know, I was going to contact my cardiologist and have him, come off of warfarin and take something else that might make it more appropriate for the senescent cell therapy.
Yeah. So if you want to go, ahead and do that, that'll also help us. But just go ahead and let me look at that and review your chart in more detail one more time, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for calling, Bill.
You bet.
All right. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. I'm here with Dr. Samira Umat, and we're taking your calls, and we have several more to get to this morning, but we have room for you as well. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back, and we will talk with, who do we have next? We have Sherry from Renton. Sherry, hang on. We'll be right with you in just a moment.
I've been away for 5 weeks. I've been in Italy, and I got to tell you, I kind of miss you guys on the weekend. I do have this rare honesty that you find in Europe, but you don't see in the United States. Everybody's too careful about what they say and don't say, and I just love the fact that you tell it like it is.
Welcome back. Leading Edge Medicine here on a beautiful Saturday morning, our first Saturday in August. I just realized we haven't been together since last month.
That's true.
That's right. Dr. Samira Umat in the studio today. Dr. Jerry Mixon is in Iceland with his family, a trip he has been looking forward to.
Seems vacation. Like it's a big vacation spot this year.
Yes, this is the place to go. Yeah. And he had mentioned that Iceland Air, which is the carrier for that, has been offering that you can have a nice long layover at no cost if you are flying on their airline to another place. So they don't want you to just jump in the plane and go home. They're like, hey, stick around a while.
Spend some money.
Yeah, of course they want that, of course. 888-312-5757 is the number to call, and we would love to have you on the phone. I want to find out where Sherry is calling from. Sherry is from Renton. Sherry, good morning.
Hi, Sherry. Good morning.
Yes, is it okay to leave it on speakerphone?
It's better if you don't. That way we can hear, unless somebody is, long as your radio is off. Yeah.
Okay. I got rid of it. Well, anyway, I was calling because our family seems to, no matter what our habits are, when they do an MRI and check out things, we don't seem to build up plaque. Even with whatever our cholesterol readings are. My one brother, he was a proud smoker and chose to die that way, but with lung cancer. But even when he had all of that going on, they were amazed that he had no plaque.
Okay.
And then another brother, same thing with my dad before he died. They were shocked. He was overweight. He was all these things, and he had no plaque. Now, my other, I had three brothers. Now, the one brother on the East Coast, he was raised here. He was, he had a slight, the smallest of, a small, I guess, of TIAs. He's a man who walked 5.5 miles about three times a week and was in good health, but had a lot of stress in his life. He took care of his dying wife of cancer for a couple years. She didn't want any help brought in, and she didn't want to go anywhere, so he took care of her. He said that's the least he could do because he could never repay her for giving her him four daughters. So he went through all of that, but when he had this TIA, he was at one of the daughters helping with a baby, rocking it, and he had this spell, and his first thought was, how am I going to get this baby? They were sleeping upstairs. He had been rocking for 5 hours, which I thought was a bad thing right there, sitting that long. He tried to get the baby to the infant seat before he would fall, and his first thought was, how can I fall if I fall? How can I fall so I don't hurt the baby? He got the baby in the infant seat and knocked on the door and yelled for them above, but he was on his knees at this time. They took him to the hospital. He was there 2 days. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't hardly find the spot on the TIA. They couldn't hardly, they searched and searched. They finally found a little speck, and they said they didn't understand it because all of his numbers. Then he went to a cardiac specialist over by D.C., suburbs of D.C.
Okay.
And they reexamined everything, and they said the same thing. It's so small that they couldn't understand it. And all of his numbers were like as good as a 30-year-old.
Wow.
And they could not believe it. But they told him no more need to walk that many miles, that a mile and a half would do the same benefit. And he's 79.
Okay.
And will turn 80 in very active. You know, I mean, he's not a health nut either, but his wife did. I started eating healthy, so I started preaching about herbs and different things and gluten. And so then she started getting herbs into their diets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he never stayed away with gluten or anything special.
Okay.
And his sugar wasn't all that high. But I think in nowadays reading, 5.7 or 8 seems to be pre-diabetic, but
that's right.
And he wouldn't tell me what. I think that's about the area he was in. But he said, "Well, I guess I can't eat ice cream anymore." And they told him, "Well, you can have ice cream once in a while." But, I mean, other than that, he couldn't understand why he had it. So he got this vertigo with this. Then now it's been about a month and a half, and he says he no longer has these like fainty spells.
Okay.
He used to have one once a week, but they explained the brain has to retrain.
Right.
And that spot that, and so it's retraining. Well, anyway, our family doesn't seem to collect plaque no matter what. My father was so overweight when he died, but he had worked in shipyards and Hanford, and then when he went and got lung cancer, because he was a smoker as well, he got too much radiation. I think they didn't take into account the radiation he accumulated over at Hanford, and it just burned him, terrible, way back in the day, like 1981. And so, you know, I mean, a lot of this, but he himself didn't have plaque. So I don't, and so my heavy smoker brother, I mean, Harvard even was doing a study, I think, on him, but they couldn't figure out why he didn't have plaque. This brother on the East Coast, they said that they x-rayed right into the valves that go into the heart, and they couldn't find a speck of plaque.
Wow.
And they put him on the treadmill. He passed that like nothing, flat, you know, of course.
Sure.
But so I don't know. What do you think?
So what's the question?
Yeah, we're wondering what the question is.
Well, I figured out why, you know, it seems to me like all this emphasis on cholesterol, I'm just not sure that that's...
Maybe it's just not his issue.
Yeah, and you know,
it could be
he's got enough other issues.
That's right.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, your genome, you inherited such a great genome that cholesterol is not your issue.
Yeah.
Yet he did have something. And as you alluded to earlier, mm-hmm. he went through a lot of stress in life. And as we were talking about in the show, you know, you carry stress, and stress makes a big difference in what's happening to you and the expression of certain symptoms. I was giving an example of a patient of mine who's now in her late 60s and has been in the clinic for longer than I've been there. And she and her husband were doing great, and they always are. They just come in now for their regular checkups with me. But she came in, and so all of a sudden we started noticing that her cholesterol levels were rising, and at the same time she started talking about her work becoming very stressful for her. And then a year or two into this, she mentioned that she had decided to retire. And she took early retirement, and as I was watching her, that cholesterol level started to drop as her stress level dropped. It had nothing to do with anything. The lady doesn't have any family history of heart disease, no history of coronary artery disease personally, and her cholesterol had always been fine. And there was this one stretch of a couple of year time period when before she retired, her cholesterol level started to rise, and then as she retired and went into retirement, that stress from work diminished and went away. And we noticed in her labs that her cholesterol just normalized. She's a good eater, works out all the time, slim, doesn't have any other risk factors. And so, you know, what happens to you personally in life and how you express that can be a medical problem sometimes. But if you remove the underlying problem, then that lab becomes normal. So we, other than, you know, just talk to her about lifestyle issues, I never put her on drugs to lower her cholesterol. She didn't need that. What she needed was to get a better handle on what was causing it to go up. And in this case, it seemed to be stress-related. And as soon as it went away, her levels improved. And so, yes, you probably inherited a great gene pool from your family that even though, you know, your dad was a smoker your brother was a smoker and they
both
had some
of them
other...
were, and they sure didn't have any pack. I just didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And then my third brother went to Vietnam and he got into Agent Orange and he's very high strung and he could never work for anybody else. He always had to do his own business. And he just recently moved to Texas because...
Okay.
They treat the veterans pretty good there with property taxes if you're, you know. And so anyway, he had a slight heart murmur that didn't keep him out of going to Vietnam. But they were concerned he had a hernia, and they wouldn't do the hernia operation until they did something with his heart. So in Texas, they stopped his heart totally, he told me, and restarted it, which I'd never heard of. And and they said now it's got the right rhythm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm learning a lot from my brothers.
Sure. Yeah, I bet you are. Very good. Very good.
A lot of sources for learning in all your life. You just got to be open to it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we all get along really well. We speak our minds right or wrong, and we're all kind of conservative. So it helps in that department. But, I lived the stress with a brother taking care of his wife because I would take phone calls, and he seemed to handle the stress really well. He, you know, he accepted everything as it went along, but still, I just, I think on this end, I was more stressing. But for him as well as her, I kept saying, you can't do this. You can't do this. You got to get help. No, he wouldn't do it. That's not her wishes, you know. And so, anyway, so that. But, I'm just confused. I listen to all the experts on PBS, and if they all agree on one thing, I kind of think, well, maybe that's the way I'll go, because they differ. And this cholesterol or this caffeine thing, I'm very confused with one of the callers or the doctor, I mean, the heart doctor about caffeine. I've heard one cup doesn't hurt. I drink all kinds of teas that are caffeine-free. as well as a lot of green tea.
Yeah, and so it depends upon what we're treating, right? Mm-hmm. For the gentleman who called, he was having premature ventricular contractions, and Dr. Maiden's point was that premature ventricular contractions are caused by caffeine. Even if you're drinking some decaffeinated versions, they do have some caffeine. Depending upon which brand, they may have more than others. So that was his point.
Okay, now, I'm not up on all of that. Yeah.
And so
you clarified that.
Yeah, and so for you, where, you know, is caffeine bad for you? If you don't have underlying risk factors, honestly, I'm not giving up my caffeine. And,
yes.
And there are enough studies to show that that coffee, in fact, prevents dementia. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have a plaque in my office mm-hmm. that says Starbucks cures everything. So, so coffee is my, my go-to. Mm-hmm. And so it's everything is not good for everybody all the time. So for you, where you have no risk factors, caffeine is not a problem. Mm-hmm. Dr. Maiden was referring specifically to a gentleman who was having premature ventricular contractions for whom caffeine might be an issue. Okay?
Okay. Now I have another quick question. I know I've taken a lot of time, but do you have any have you heard of any negatives in extreme about tooth implants versus bridges?
If you don't do it, you're going to affect your bite. And it can cause some gum loss. So I think going in to do the implant versus a bridge is a good idea. Whether you need an implant or a bridge depends upon how much they are trying to fix. So if you're losing more than one or two teeth, I think a bridge is good. If it's just one tooth, an implant on its own is fine.
There you
go. And have you heard negatives on root canals? Is there negatives on that?
You know, that's a longer question. I think we have to take a break, don't we?
We're going
to
take a quick break. Yeah. And then we have
I would say go get it done if you have a problem. Address the issue, okay?
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sherry.
Good luck. Okay.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Boy. Hey, wonderful calls, lots of information today, and we are not done yet. We would love to talk with you, and here is the phone number to get through, 888-312-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Hour number two is on the way. Stay tuned.